It feels very rough. I don't know. Something is definitely wrong with him. And I mean, this doesn't sp the way he looked in Norway doesn't spell very positively for his match against Gukesh. I think that's just going to be. I hope he's going to stabilize before that. I think that playing in Bucharest immediately after a world championship match was one of his biggest mistakes because he didn't give himself enough time to enjoy whatever just transpired. Speaking of for himself, Hans back over 2700. We can briefly touch upon that, but yeah, welcoming Hans back to the 27 plus 100 club. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the C Squared podcast. A lot of things have happened since the last time we sat together. Fabi, you played the tournament. A lot of exciting things have happened in the chess world as well. We've had the Clash of Claims, we've had the French League, Summer Chess Classic, a bunch of other tournaments as well. But of course, let's start with the big event that just finished, Norway Chess. We chatted about it. You were just en route to the tournament the last time we discussed. Let's catch up. So, how was it?
Yeah, it was, well, it was quite a big tournament, one of the strongest in the history of chess by average rating. Although I don't know if we should go by average rating because that we know ratings change all the time, and there were also times when we didn't really have FIDE ratings. So historically, it's hard to say how strong it is, but it's a super strong tournament. It had
Very strong.
Magnus, it had Ding as the world champion, it had Hikaru and myself as the world's number two and three. After Magnus, and those places switched around. So I started number two, I ended number three, and vice versa. And then it had Pragnanta, who is definitely one of the strongest of the young players in the world. I mean, arguably like very close in strength to Arjun, to Nødderbæk, to Gukesh, who won the candidates. And those would be like, let's say, the top picks of the young guys who are aged like 18 to 20 or so. And yeah, it was not a good event for me. It started all right,
It
but I
started off
lost to the
well,
kind of.
right?
Yeah, it started well. I mean, I started with two draws, and then I beat Ding with White, and it's hard to say what kind of start that is. It's kind of good, but not like you're running away with the tournament. It's just the beginning, and yeah. So all the classical games were followed up with an Armageddon game. And which is fun, but it really turns out that the Armageddon is not very important for the final scoring. I mean, the classical wins or losses are what really make the difference in the tournament. I mean, the Armageddon does make a difference. It's an extra half point if you win, or minus half a point if you lose. You know, if you lose Armageddon, you get 1 point. If you win the Armageddon, you get 1.5. But if you win or lose a classical game, that's like a completely
Huge,
tournament changing.
huge, yeah.
And yeah, for me, it just like went wrong in two consecutive rounds.
I think
And after that, I did.
it was the first couple of rounds where you lost in the Armageddon, but we were chatting about it and you kind of understood that, okay, sure, losing in the Armageddon sucks from a psychological perspective, but it doesn't really change much in the grand scheme of things. And in fact, after you beat Ding, I think you jumped from second to last or something like that to first in the standings in one round.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was first or like or second place, but very close to first. Yeah, one classical win really helped me to the top of the standings, but unfortunately I lost the next round. And I wouldn't say I lost in an unnecessary way. I didn't play a poor game. I made one, two, maybe three poor decisions, but very like n not obvious at the time that they were poor decisions, but it turned out
That was the
to
game
be.
against
And
Magnus, the
yeah,
first.
and then I got an end game which is like queen three against queen two. And if the pawns are together, if his pawns are not separated, like if he has one pawn island, then it's a pretty easy draw. But he has the pawns were separated, and he has a path pawn, which makes it much more difficult. And it turned out that the end game is difficult to the point that I wasn't really making mistakes until my final move. And at that point, I already thought I was losing before I made that final move. Because his pawn is already on the second rank. That is to say, my second rank, so it's basically about to promote. And I can keep it there by giving checks forever or forcing his king to block the pawn. And one kind of crucial variation is one where I allow him to promote, but then I have a perpetual check with one queen against two queens.
Which is
And
kind of insane to find with like 30 seconds on the clock, right?
yeah, like the argument could be made on the one hand, like Magnus thought basically you always lose this practice. I thought he also thought it was just objectively losing. When he found out that it was objectively a draw, he said, okay, you basically lose this in practice all the time. I thought it was losing. When I found out it was a draw, I kind of internally debated how realistic it is to hold this with, let's say, the 10-second increment, or like I don't know, I was down to maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds, whatever it is. At some point, you'll get down to a 10-second increment because you're not going to keep that time buffer forever. And then how realistic is it? On the one hand, you can maybe like go by elimination with some moves, like these moves obviously lose, and therefore I have to play this move. On the other hand, you can't rule out that at some point after defending for, I don't know, 30 moves of this position, at some point you just panic. For me, it happened early on that I panicked. I thought it was losing, and I just made a move which was kind of random, and it was more of like one of those desperation moves. Like I don't know what to do. All moves seem to be losing. I played one of them.
But I feel like at this point, if you haven't analyzed this very specific end game, let's say a month before, 10 out of 10 players will think that this position is just losing. Give them in a
Yeah,
classical
possibly.
game as well. Give them 2 hours to think. They're still gonna think it's just losing. Instinctively, it just looks completely losing. Yeah, king on h1,
Yeah,
the
it
pawn.
does because my king is in the checks. It looks like my king is vulnerable to checks, and his king is kind of covered. But it turns out that yeah, this is a draw. I can keep him from promoting, or once he promotes, he actually ends up in perpetual check. So then the question is if this is like practically very hard to hold or impossible to hold or whatever.
I
Impossible,
think
we can't say. That's
I think it's
subjective.
close to impossible. I mean, I would say a lot of the king and pawn, queen end games. So sorry, queen end games with the pawn up, and no other pawns on the board. Then those, sure, some of them are technically a draw, and then they're holdable in practical chess. But this one in particular, I think is just like close to impossible. Like maybe. Earlier, I don't know if you can not allow him to push his pawn. Is there a way to not allow him to push his pawn?
There's like nothing really better that you can do from the beginning. The pawn is somehow just going forward. So yeah, then the question is like, what did I do wrong in the game? Of course, in the opening, definitely could identify that I should have played a5. I was sort of thinking, should I play a5? Should I not? And I wasn't sure.
A5 at
But
what point?
logically, I should have done. What's that?
A5 at what point?
Like after he played knight d8, basically before he played b5. Now, it's not like this move gives me an advantage, but it means that I'm on the slightly better side of it rather than soon I became on the slightly worse side of it. So that move would probably ensure that I don't end up on the defensive. Not that I'm like gonna, I shouldn't lose a position, of course, if I don't play a5. It's just that I end up on the slightly defensive side of it. So it's better to avoid that scenario. And then the other thing is you can maybe criticize my knight takes g5 move. But it's real. I think this is actually a very difficult moment. Although it objectively is a mistake, which leads to this kind of unpleasant endgame. And if I made another move, then I probably hold it without like huge suffering. It's really hard to criticize this, I think, because it's just one of those like natural moves, and it's not clear that it's bad. And to like figure out it's bad, you would need to take a lot of time. Not that it's objectively bad, but that it like is inaccurate and leads to an unpleasant position. Just this, you would have to like take a lot of time, and then, or maybe you have some instinct, like maybe your instincts lead you away from this move. Those are the two possibilities.
Do you like this
So,
combination, this hybrid format with classical Armageddon, but also with this time control where you don't get anything until move 40 and then you get like 10 seconds?
It's unforgiving, but I don't mind it. I don't think my result was dictated by the time control. I think it was I wasn't in good shape, and probably whatever the time control, I wouldn't have done very well. But yeah, it did end up being that two unpleasant end games I had. They well, actually, one of them really wasn't due to time. One of them was definitely exacerbated by time, the game against Magnus, but the game against Prague.
Oh
That I
yeah.
got a slightly that I got an unpleasant end game like a, and then I lost it. I actually had plenty of time on the clock.
Yes.
Like
Yes.
I had plenty of time. He didn't have time, and I still just made some bad decisions at some certain moments in the end game. But I could already feel like something was wrong during that game because I really blundered something just to get into an unpleasant position. I blundered something very basic earlier in the game. So I felt like something was wrong at that point in the tournament. And then after that, I tried to like create some chances, but mostly what I was doing was playing inaccurately. And rather than creating chances, I was taking fine positions and then turning them into bad positions, like against Ding. I think really had a good chance to win this game if I don't play knight to c5. If I don't make that move, which turns the better position into an equal one, I think that if I had found a way to get an advantage, I would have just won the game because it was really unpleasant for him to hold it, and he was not in a good
Remind me
psychological
again,
state to.
the moment, knight to c5, you said.
So I played bc4, bc4, and now knight to c5. So instead of knight c5, I have e5, d takes c6, and knight to e5. This is really strong. And yeah, if I had done that, I think I probably would have won the game. It's not, of course, a guarantee, it's just speculation, but I don't think that he would have been up to the task of defending a really unpleasant position like that.
Cool,
So
cool,
yeah,
cool.
and then after that, I no longer like I kind of mentally checked out of the tournament. It was my last chance to like fight for. I still tried against Prague a bit. Last round, I didn't really care about the game because I wasn't fighting for anything, and I didn't even feel like I was fighting for a spoiler role because, like, I wasn't going to try to beat Magnus with
It's
black.
very difficult to beat Magnus with black if he doesn't want to push, yeah.
Yeah, he was going to take it safe. I knew that. I wasn't like, why would I risk and potentially ruin my tournament further rather than just call it a day and everyone's happy, I guess. Like
Yeah.
if I had a chance at first place, I would have tried,
I mean, at this point, it
okay.
was on Hikaru to try to win, right? If he wanted to catch up with Magnus. I mean,
Yeah,
Magnus had
the fight for
absolutely no
first place
reason
was
to fight.
between them.
Yeah.
For a few rounds, it was clear it was between them, but I had a very strong feeling that it was Magnus running away with it at some point, and everyone really tightened up at some point, and this was definitely favorable for Magnus keeping his lead because, like, Ding played quite reasonably against Hikaru.
He played a really good game. Okay, one of the few, but
Okay,
he did
I
play a
suppose, yeah.
really good game.
It was a normal game. I mean, it was a decent game, but after
Given
what the
the
remaining
trend,
two, that
let's say, given his trend
yeah,
throughout
of
the
course,
event.
that's a huge improvement. That
Yeah.
was a massive improvement compared to some of his earlier rounds, which were rather poor.
It was
Let's put
really
it this way.
bad. It was really, really bad. I mean, you know, from a commentator's perspective, I was watching the games. I was doing his commentary as well. It was just a pain to see him. It felt like you're watching a 2300, 2400 level player just facing against these monsters. And at every point, it felt like you could sense that there's something wrong with him, and he could blunder basic stuff, completely basic stuff, at any point in the game. Like even when he got to 4 versus 3 against Hikaru. It didn't feel like. I mean, obviously, you know, anybody at that level would hold that position with their eyes closed, but it didn't feel that way from Ding. A very, very strange feeling.
Yeah, well, it's his tournament started kind of okay. I mean, yeah, he made a played a non-game against Magnus in the first round, whatever, and then he played a normal game against Prague in the second round. So there's not too much to say about the tournament so far. And then he lost 4 in a row, and some of the games were really poor, but they were mostly characterized by a lack of resistance in difficult positions.
Yes. Precisely.
And some things were bizarre, like his preparation against Alireza. I mean, like I had played the same variation against Alireza 2 rounds previously. Then he prepares it, mixes up the move order, and like 3 moves after the opening, he's lost. So that was a strange game. His game against me was like kind of more understandable, but still, once he was worse, he didn't resist very well. Against Hikaru was actually a very bad game. So yeah, like Hikaru was not trying to win that game. I mean, he played an opening where he's trying to equalize, and it's a bit sterile. But you could see that Ding was not in the right not in the right form.
Yeah,
It was like
and once he
obvious
got the
that
worst
he was far too late.
position, he was just every single move he was making, it was like throwing him into a worse and worse position. Like he wasn't putting
Yeah.
absolutely any resistance. The one that you would
And
expect
also
from
Hikaru was
2800s.
like at his most dangerous at this moment. He was putting pressure on the clock, he was playing well on the board, and he was in a technical position, which is probably Hikaru's like one of his strongest sides is his technical ability in endgames. And so yeah, but then he stabilized. I mean, it's not like he didn't win any games, but he did stabilize. He played a pretty okay game against Prague, and then he was much better, but then he missed the advantage, but still an understandable game. Against me, he played a game which, yeah, I wouldn't call it a good game. Neither of us played well, but at least he was like fighting for the advantage, and he was at some point winning, and there was a portion of the game where he played quite well.
But he was sure, but you opened up the game on your own terms, right? Like the preparation felt like you were just trying to win that game with the black pieces. Like you didn't try to play
Oh, of
solid,
course. I mean,
try to get a fight.
I played a very dubious variation. I got a good position. Then I spoiled it very, very badly. Then he got a huge advantage, and for about 10 moves he was playing like the first line, like move 20 to move 30. And then something went like weirdly wrong after knight to b5, I think. This is a position you should win. And he was also up on time, everything. Like, you should win this position. And then this move, bishop f1, was quite shocking to me. I have to say. I was expecting rook d1. I was expecting maybe king f1. But bishop f1 just allows a check on f3. So it's just crazy. I mean, I wouldn't say crazy, but it's like a very odd mistake. And yeah, then he offered a draw. I was still like a bit worried. I thought, okay, I take the pawn, but then my knight's on e1, f7's a bit weak. I was still a bit worried. So, but still, he stabilized his tournament. Then he played a good game against Hikaru. He was somewhat better,
And then he
but
played a
then
good
became somewhat
Armageddon.
worse. Yeah, and then he
Very
actually
decent
played
Armageddon.
one of the better Armageddon games in the tournament, amongst all players, not just amongst him. I mean, he played a very high quality game. And that was the tournament. I mean, it's a bad tournament for him. We can't paint it any other way. But he did stabilize a bit. That's one good sign. He showed glimpses of his strength. But yeah, overall, it was a bad tournament.
It feels very rough. I don't know. Something is definitely wrong with him, and I mean this doesn't sp the way he looked in Norway doesn't spell very positively for his match against Gukesh. I think that's just going to be. I hope he's going to stabilize before that, or try to get a campaign, try to get his mindset right, because it just didn't feel like his mindset was there. Perhaps his mind was not there in general, right? He was saying that, he's struggling with depression, and that's serious stuff. Very, very serious stuff. Did you get to
Yeah,
chat
and
with
I
him at
don't.
all?
Just a bit about the games that we were staying on the same floor, but we don't really know each other personally too well. But after the games, we chatted a little bit. After both games, he was ready to talk about chess. He didn't seem like in bad spirits. I think he was just waiting for like the good game to come, because after he beat Hikaru in Armageddon, he was extremely happy visibly.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
And so I think he's just waiting for like something good to happen in terms of chess. and then he'll regain his confidence. So I don't see it so pessimistically from the point of view of the match for him. I think, yeah, at the moment, of course, you can't ignore the results. Gukesh plays very well. Ding has had poor results, very poor results for a long time now. This year, only poor results. Viakhanze was bad. Weisenhaus was bad. Granqvist was bad. This was bad. But on the other hand, I really wouldn't read everything into it. I'll give like some counter examples. Gukesh did play extremely poorly at the Grand Swiss. And if you saw that Gukesh, the one who was losing game after game after game there, you wouldn't think that's the player who will win the candidates in a very, maybe not convincing, but in a very steady fashion.
But Gukesh is
And
also, that's his style, right? He's very on and off. Like, he can have a very good result, he can have a very bad result as well. And he's
I'm not
also
sure
at
that's
that
like,
age, right?
yeah, that's true. I'm not sure my impression of him is like super up and down, but he is at an age where, yeah, you can expect a bit of up and downness, if that's a word. But then again, Ding, like he just needs to recover his confidence. That's the main thing, I think. It's like he's capable. He just has to have the realization he's capable of playing at a super high level, at a 2800 level. He's also capable of playing at a much lower level. So he just needs to find a way to, like, I think we underestimate confidence as well.
Oh,
I mean, if
I don't
you're second guessing
underestimate
yourself.
confidence.
Sure, no, I just mean like we think that players, they have a bad patch and then okay, they're finished. But we can look at Hikaru a few years ago, had a very bad patch, probably didn't have great confidence. And look at him now, he plays extremely confidently, 2800 again. Hard to say that. I mean, it's easy to say that the people who thought he was finished were completely wrong. That's not too much of a surprise to say. But I think it could be the same for anyone. And for Ding, it's like, yeah, he has to try to regain that in himself. It's not going to come externally. So it's
But I feel
something he has to.
for Hikaru, I mean, it's a completely different situation because he managed to find confidence in other pursuits. Like, I only think that Hikaru got back to 2800 because he started streaming, because he found, let's say, this passion of his, whether it's his fan base, whether it's making money, whether whatever. There's a pressure valve that, kind of got uncovered. So that's what Hikaru's situation was. But I don't see that with Ding. He's not having any other pursuits outside of chess, or at least we don't know about them. And it just feels
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean that's true. Like I don't know Ding's life,
yeah.
and I don't know very much about Hikaru's life either. But whatever it takes, it is possible that that's basically. I'm not saying that it will happen or won't happen. Like he could get clobbered in the match. I wouldn't be too shocked. He could also win the match easily. I mean, I do actually expect it to be more balanced. But yeah, any scenario is possible. And I don't think that just because he's playing badly now means that he'll play badly in the future. That's the only thing. I do still see some like sparks of a very strong player. But then again, we are also looking for that because we know how strong his thing is. If it was someone else, if it was like a 2600 playing these tournaments and having those results, we would just say, okay, that's how it is. I mean, you put a 2600 against Magnus and you might get something like that.
And I'm starting to see where you're coming from because, Ding hasn't been his usual self, or at least, the 2800 level player that we knew since 2019. But he had the sparks of genius, especially when he needed it, right? During the candidates, he managed to get back and get the second place, and that seeded him into the match. And then, obviously, during the match. Outside of that, I cannot think of any great tournament for Ding, or even good tournament for Ding. Probably he's been losing rating every single time he's been playing. But yes, he does
Yeah,
have
I can
sparks,
tell
let's say,
you.
of confidence.
He's had like since he won the Grand Chess Tour in 2019, he's played the following events. I'll just tell you what they are. He played half of the candidates in 2020. He scored minus three. And then
Second
he
half
played a
was good.
series of like, yeah, the first half was in 2020. So that was 7 games. He was -3. That included 1 win against me and 4 losses, and 2 draws. And then he had like a bunch of online tournaments, Magnus Tour and all that stuff, which I don't remember too many of his results, but I don't think like he's doing okay.
I don't count those too
Sure,
much.
let's also not count the online events. But yeah, that was pandemic stuff. Then he played the 2021 Kansas, where he suddenly scored +3. So he equalized overall, he scored 50% in that
Yes.
Kansas.
Yes.
That included a win against Nepo in the final round, in the 14th round, when it was no longer any question Nepo was going to win, whether win, loss, draw, but he did beat him. Then he again didn't play anything else for the rest of the year. And he came back in 2022. He had, well, now we're talking about candidates again. Yeah, he suddenly had this surprise opportunity to play the candidates, and he gained like, yeah, sorry, he played 28 games, or I think it was maybe more than 28. One was like a 4-player quadruple round robin,
Yeah, the tournaments in
and
China.
one was a match against Wei Yi. And he more or less maintained his rating there, scoring plus whatever, plus a
Yeah,
billion.
nothing spectacular, but
And
maintained.
yeah, he got his required games in. And then he played the candidates, where he scored +2, which included a first round loss against Nepo. So that separated their tournaments. After that, Nepo was very strong. Ding was struggling the whole event. And then near the end, he started to win some games. He beat Duda. He beat me. He lost to Rajabov. He won one other game. And then he beat Hikaru in a
In the
very
last
fateful
round.
game in the last round, everyone knows about. And thereby qualifying via second place for the World Championship. And then he didn't play anything the rest of 22, except he did play a speech chess championship where I think it was 2021, where he got to the semifinals, a very close match against Hikaru, where Hikaru won, but very, very close, like super close. I mean, Ding was playing really well. Hikaru was extremely dangerous in this format, and Ding was at some point leading the match. I mean, it went down to the last game and so on. So I know that we can't read that too much into that, but still, he's a tremendous player, obviously. And then 2023 Viking, he scored -3, which is not a good sign for the upcoming World Championship, right? But he did win the World Championship with a 50%, 7 out of 14 score, 3 draws in the rapid portion, and then he won the final, very famous and very impressive fourth game to become world champion. And then he played the Bucharest Grand Chess Tour. He scored -2,
And that's
losing
actually, I
to.
think, one of his biggest mistakes. And I was thinking about it, and I think that playing in Bucharest immediately after a World Championship match was one of his biggest mistakes because he didn't give himself enough time to enjoy whatever just transpired, which was obviously not necessarily a surprise, but you're under some shock after you win the World Championship match in such fashion, right? Whether that's a positive or, that in his case was definitely a positive shock. In Nepo's case, obviously a negative shock. But you need to give yourself mentally and emotionally some time to adjust to this new reality. And he didn't give himself that time. He played immediately after, scored pretty poorly, and everybody kind of forgot about and. Maybe himself as well, kind of forgot about the fact that he's the world champion. I would have just like taken a 2 weeks vacation somewhere sunny after a world championship match. Enjoy, put those emotions and stabilize those emotions before I go on and play more and put myself
I don't think it would have
in the
made a
battle
difference.
again. You don't think so?
I mean, I understand, but I think you're approaching it from your point of view.
Yes.
And maybe for me it would be the same. Yeah, you take a nice vacation, enjoy your world champion title, and yeah, life is great.
But you get that you
But
get to store that confidence that you just gained. And we've been talking about confidence as well, right? I mean, it's important to store those emotions.
well, yeah, but this is sort of an internal thing, right? It's like we could already tell during the match that he had some complicated emotions regarding his chess career, his life in general, which I understand. It's actually quite normal to have those thoughts, especially for a chess player, because like we are working towards something, but it is inherently meaningless. It's just because
Okay,
it's
you cannot say
no,
that.
but it's true. I mean, like okay, we work towards something very seriously, but it is a board game, which you devote decades of your time to. Of course, then the question could be, yeah, what should you devote your time to? Everyone will have a different answer.
Exactly,
But
for us, it's just
most people
chess.
will agree that chess exists in the world or chess doesn't, probably doesn't make a great deal of difference. It's a cultural thing. I think it has cultural significance. Chess has a long history,
I
a
mean,
long human
it's
history, but
sometimes
it
entertainment as
doesn't have
well.
practical value. And so if you like, let's say, I don't know his emotions, but if at some point in your life, when you're around the age of 30, you start to think, what am I doing with my time? And why am I suffering during this world championship match? Which I think is something Magnus also at some point asked himself.
Yes, absolutely.
Then I don't know if it's so easy to just remedy that with a beach vacation. So look, I can't say what his thoughts or emotions are, but they were clearly complicated. What he was saying during the match, it's clear he was having doubts and feelings which were not easily solved.
Yes, absolutely. It was kind of a roller coaster, right? Like at the beginning, he was feeling depressed. After that, even after he lost the game, even before he won and equalized the score, he did mention that he was starting to feel better about his chess, kind of adjusted in the tournament. But that's normal, right? Those type of emotions are extremely normal, especially at, on that stage. But yeah, I mean, after the tournament, right now, in his last interview, he just said that he kind of lost a lot of motivation after he won the world championship match. So I don't know.
That could easily be. I mean, the other thing is that like enjoyment for chess is important. You have
Yes.
to want to do it, otherwise you're not going to play well. But where does it come from is a very mysterious thing, because you can be doing well and just not enjoying the process, and sometimes you're not doing so great, but you're enjoying yourself. So it's not like he's not enjoying it because he's doing poorly necessarily. It's something in which yeah you have to find that. Desire to do it. And like I can say, okay, the candidates, yeah, +3 that I did was a respectable result, final result, not looking at the details, but just at the result. But can I say that I enjoyed this process? Like, absolutely not. So yeah,
It's
it's a
grueling.
difficult thing.
It's
I
grueling,
can
yeah.
like speak to it also personally. Like I understand why you would not want to play chess after even you win a world championship match or you win the candidate. But I can also understand why like this would super motivate someone. Like you win a world championship match and you become incredibly strong. I can also see that happening. It's a personal thing. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna speculate like too much on what will happen because I just don't know. But I don't think it's a given that Kukesh is a huge favorite or something like that.
Oh no, absolutely not. I mean, anything can happen in a match, and it all depends on which thing comes to play, right? It's very important, and we're going to find out in the first, I guess, few games during that match. Cool. All right, let's talk about the other big tournament that just finished. The match, Clash of Clans, Jaspem versus Kramnik, Kramnik versus Jaspem. Very mediatized, very discussed, still ongoing. The discussion is still ongoing because Kramnik seems like he's not ready to accept, let's just say, what happened. Maybe for good reasons. We can discuss about that. But yeah, Clash of Claims, you were supposed to make an appearance, but you ended up not. Did you follow?
Yeah, I did. Well, I'm in Madrid, so I thought about. I mean, the event is pretty nearby. I guess it's like half an hour by car. I could have gone. It was during like the travel day, so I was a bit tired. Didn't feel like taking another trip too much, but I kind of wanted to, and then I was watching the stream of it, and at some point they were just like, Gotham was doing algebra, and I decided, yeah, I don't know, like what I'm going to talk about if I'm there, because I think that they asked me if I wanted to go on the show, on Gotham's Twitch, but and I told them like I told Divis, David Martinez, previously that I like to come and visit for the final few hours of the match, but then yeah, it was like they're doing some math and writing some stuff down, and I didn't it didn't seem fun anymore. But I,
The whole process was quite enigmatic, yeah? Like, supposedly they were going to unbox. So this was the first we were watching it live. And during the first day, this was the first kind of big moment when they started unboxing their first batch of laptops. So I don't think they accounted to how many things need to happen before those laptops are ready to be played on, because it was like an hour and a half of break. The Windows had to be updated. Apparently, we found out later on that it wasn't updated correctly on Kramnik's laptop, and that was giving him some sort of an error on chess.com. I mean, the whole thing was a clown fiesta, yeah? Amazing stuff.
yeah, it was. It's a fun idea. From the beginning, I thought this is a fun idea. Two players who are, let's say, we don't know who is going to be the favorite. It wasn't clear. I don't think anyone who's the favorite, Kramnik or Jose Martinez, in this sort of match, which was like a long, long blitz match. So it was okay. The format changed midway, which is also ridiculous. But it was
Initially
like supposed to be.
36 games, I think, and
Yeah, and it
then
ended up being 28, but it was like
28.
supposed to be 18 over the board, 18 online, and yeah, there were a lot of like hiccups. I think some genuinely, Vladimir was correct. I mean, he showed that at some point during the game, his opponent's time is counting down, and then suddenly it just switches, and then he's flagged, and he lost all his time on the clock. And this is a bug.
I've had that problem
Which
also during
I've
Title
had this happen
Tuesday.
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had this happen to me in casual blitz. I was playing, it happened like on move three. I mean, it's happened on more than one occasion, but one I can remember clearly. I was playing Rudik Makarion. And on move three, I play like Bishop C4. And then we both have 3 minutes. And then I'm just waiting and just taking forever. His time is just going down forever. And I'm trying to abort the game and et cetera, et cetera. And then it shows, okay, his time's at zero. And then suddenly, after his time hits zero, the screen entirely changes. My time has gone to zero. I lose the game, and he's made a move, which didn't appear on the screen before. And it's happened on some other occasions. So this is some sort of glitch. Now, if I see that my opponent's taking like absurdly long, I just refresh a page. But in the middle of the game, you don't know what is absurdly long is. Like, okay, if your opponent takes 3 minutes on the first move, yeah, that's probably incorrect. If your opponent takes like 20 seconds out of 30 on move, whatever, it can happen, right? And then you can flag. So that was a legitimate concern or complaint, whatever.
Yeah, for me, it even happened last Title Tuesday. Well, during Norway, I decided to stream one of the Title Tuesdays. And in one of the games, towards the last few seconds, I had the impression that I had, let's say, 2.7 seconds. And I've made my last move when I had more than 1 second on the clock. And then a couple of seconds later, it tells me that I lost on time, basically. Like, I make my move, but it doesn't register with the website, and then I lose on time, basically. Like, I've had this happen. It seems like it matters whether there's a big tournament happening, whether there's a lot of strain on the website at the particular moment. I would assume that was the case during their match with everybody watching. But yeah, it seems like, because this was never happening to me whenever I was streaming, just random games in the middle of the night, let's say, right? Like, it never happened during low traffic moments, but high traffic moments, it seems like always happening.
Yeah, Yeah, it can happen, and it does kind of spoil a game, and then maybe the spoil some tilt someone, spoils the match a bit. So that's a legitimate complaint. What Vladimir said, that like chess.com is conspiring to, like, or I don't know if he said that directly, but kind of hinted
Kind of.
that chess, that's obviously not true. Like, okay, nobody, I'm 100% sure nobody actually cared about the match. And nobody was really conspiring or anything. That's 100%. There's no chance.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
But that he was affected by some glitches is like, yeah, I definitely believe it. And although I think chess.com has improved. Like, I remember going back, I don't know, 6, 7 years, whatever. I would try to play Title Tuesday, but I was physically unable to,
Oh,
because it's like, okay, it starts at this
yeah.
time. And then after one round, like something happens, the tournament crashes, they try to get it set up, then they can't get it set up, and the next week they like double the prizes. And this happened every time. And for years I just gave up on playing Title Tuesday because of these crashes or DDoS attacks.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it was, but whatever it was that were like preventing tournaments from even happening. So chess.com has improved their servers
Tremendously, yes, absolutely.
dramatically.
Absolutely, yeah. Well,
But
I
still,
mean,
there are some issues.
even before the Title Tuesdays, right? Like, we were almost unable to play for the most part on chess.com. There's the famous comment by Magnus, yeah, stuck in the mud on it feels like you're stuck in the mud when you're playing the pieces. So that was the first improvement. Then obviously with Title Tuesdays, they adjusted to that as well. Now everything seems to be running smoothly, but you do have these occasional
Smoothly-ish, yeah,
bugs.
smoothly-ish.
Smoothly-ish, yes. There's the occasional bugs, of course.
It happens. It's happened very rarely to me, but the exact bug that I saw that was screen recorded on a screen has happened to me. In irrelevant games, just like in some casual, like the game I mentioned against Rudik or some other games. N not in Title Tuesday, luckily. So, but yeah, that definitely, yeah, that definitely changed. I don't know if it changed the match. I think maybe they like didn't count that game. At some point, I like stopped following all the details of the match, because a match which changes formats midway,
There's too many.
in which like I don't even understand what they're doing at some point. They're taking like 50-minute breaks. They're doing some sort of calculations about lag, on a notepad, and then Gotham is like relaying messages on his Twitch, and he was literally doing some algebraic equations, and I stopped watching at that point. I really enjoyed the commentary by Pepe and Divis. I think
Always,
they're really
always
great. They
entertaining.
made a good
Yes.
show,
Yes.
but the actual match was a circus. I have to say, it was just an absolute circus, and I don't even know what to take away from the match besides that it's probably was stupid to even have it happen.
I think there's an obvious difference. We kind of understand, and we kind of got to see in real time the big difference between online and over the board chess. I think in over the board chess, Kramnik was the better player. When it came to online, it became quite obvious that Jaspem seems to be the better player, better equipped player, because in terms of, let's say, accuracy, in terms of better positions, Kramnik had plenty of chances. But it felt like at some point when the clock was getting down to the last few seconds, whether it was because of the lag, I don't think every single game and every single miss and every single mistake was because of the lag, but we could see that Jaspem had, let's say, not better nerves ne necessarily, but just better skills when it came to online chess. And this was 3+2. Now, if you consider 3+1, which we generally have in Title Tuesdays, then it becomes even
But I think
more obvious
this was
the
actually fair.
difference.
For over the board, you shouldn't do 3-1. You can, but I was playing like some casual games with 1 second increment recently, and you mostly flag in
Yeah,
3-1
3-1
because
is different. Yeah, over the board.
the hand movement takes like a second.
Yeah.
So 3-2 over the board, I think the pieces move slower, which is natural, right? You're not moving a mouse half a centimeter. You're moving your hand to the piece and to the clock and so on. So that was logical. That they could have played 3-1 online would also be logical, but I don't think that players suddenly become like better or worse in a dramatic way, whether they have a 1 second or 2 second increment. I think no increment could change quite a bit. But that's just because you have the possibility of flagging people. Well, with 3-1 online, still flagging is
Oh, it's very
relatively rare.
possible. But it's very possible. 3-1,
But not in
definitely
simple
possible.
positions. Like not in rook against rook, you're not flagging people.
Of
Like I
course.
could flag in a complicated position because I can't find the movement time. But in 3-0, you can get flagged in like objectively completely simple drawn positions. Rook against rook, opposite color bishops with one pawn left. These things where you have to like move your mouse as fast as you can. In 3-0, you actually get flagged. In 3-1, you don't. So there is that like fundamental difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the match itself didn't tell us much. They were very closely matched, and Jospin was clearly better at the end in the final day, in the final few games. But overall, it was a relatively close match, I guess. 14.5 to 12.5, I think, was the.
I think
I could
fi
be
15 and a
thinking
half
about.
to 11 and a half.
No.
Yeah,
Wait,
yeah.
15.5, 11.5? Did I get it off that much?
Well, it became kind of one-sided towards the end, and I think it ended 15.5 to 11.5, and I think they didn't even play the last game or something like that.
Maybe I'm checking the score wrong, but it's possible. But let me just check for, yeah, 15.5, 11.5. Oh, yeah, for some reason I thought it was less. But yeah, that's a pretty convincing victory. And at the end it didn't look like in the last day, Jose did win quite
So,
handily.
well, the thing is, Kramnik won the over the board, 7.5, 6.5. That's, I think, 14 games. And then basically lost the other one, what, like 9-5, something like that. My math is off right
Oh,
now. No, four.
one of these games, like the last game.
8-4, 8-4, I guess, yeah.
Oh, the last game was the glitch game. That was where, like, click on the last game there.
Let's see. So the last game was a glitch game and they didn't count that or what?
Yeah, like even when you play replay through the game, it kind of looks weird. Like just replay through it. You see Kramnik is white. I don't know, was it the last game played? I guess it was. Rook c7, 23 seconds. Kramnik showed a video of this on his Twitter. Bishop f1 was played, 0 seconds, and then black plays queen a5. So I don't know, like normally if you flag, it doesn't register the move bishop f1. But somehow he flagged and it registered bishop f1 and queen a5. So even like the replay is kind of weird. Okay, so yeah, let's say 14.5, 11.5, because this game, I guess, we can like discount it for that reason. I don't
Yeah.
know. I mean, it
Kramnik
is a
is
glitch.
completely winning at this point, by the way. Like,
Yeah,
completely
but we
winning.
can't say that he's going to win, so let's just like nullify the result. I mean, it doesn't change the match result, but this game, the glitch does objectively change the game quite a bit.
The glitch speaks for itself. No, for sure. Speaking of for himself, Hans back over 2700. We can briefly touch upon that, but welcoming Hans back to the 27 plus 100 club. He played a pretty decent event, in fact, in the French League. So, kudos to him. Outside of that, I think there is a match actually happening between Hans and Vidit coming up in the second part of June. There is also a Bucharest. I'm about to leave to Bucharest. I'm actually about to bump my house right now for spiders. So I'm gonna have to be out of the house for the next 4 hours. It's bad. I have brown recluses in my house. Have you ever seen a brown recluse?
Probably. I'm not sure. They're poisonous, right?
Very poisonous, yes. I don't think they kill you, but you can lose some skin, basically. They can damage the tissue of your skin if not treated immediately. So yeah, I'm not trying to risk it. I have pets as well. So I'm bombing the house, which supposedly is going to force them out, and then they're going to kill them. Hopefully all of them. Hopefully they're going to get all of them. I don't know how many I have, but I've spotted at least five up to this point. Kill them all. And five is kind of a lot, right?
It's bad news for the brown recluse community.
Yes, and I've read about it. They're supposedly hatching between May and June. So I might have some brown recluse babies growing up, which is not good.
Not good for you.
Not good
Good
for me.
for them.
No, not
Good for
good.
them.
It's not good for them either because they're gonna get destroyed.
Well, they didn't know that.
Yes. I mean, yes, they're doing what they need to do to survive and prosper, but I'm not gonna let them prosper in my house.
That's fair. It's sort of, yeah, it's one of those situations. You can't, there's no way for everyone to be happy.
Yes,
That's unfortunate.
that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
So
Cool.
yeah, Hans is over 2700, and so is Aravind. For the first time, I think. I mean, Hans has been over 2700, so it's not really news, is it? I mean, okay. I understand we people care, but it's not really news.
Yes. Well, he passed 2700 before, felt like he was falling off 2650 or whatever, and now he's back. So, yeah, definitely. I'm sure he's gonna be a story too that will be revived, let's say,
But
in the
yeah,
chess
he will play a
zeitgeist.
match against Vidit. I was invited to this match. I think a bunch of people were. I don't know how many people, but they didn't invite me. But probably wasn't a good idea for me to play. I mean, it's like very inconveniently timed. Like yeah, right between two tournaments for me. But it should be an exciting match with Vidit. I think it will be a close one. Vidit should be a favorite, but only a slight one. I would not give. I would say maybe 55-45 for Vidit. At most 60-40, but probably closer to 55-45.
Yeah, should definitely be a good match. To be honest, I haven't heard much about it. So that's why I'm a bit puzzled by the lack of, let's say, publicity. Because it's, you know, if you're one of the organizers, you should probably put that out there with only, what, 10 days before it starts or something like that. So yeah, I haven't heard much about it. I don't even know if it's, I hope it's still happening, but we're gonna have to
I
wait
mean,
and
the
see.
website says that it still happened. Like the website
But
super
I
booked the
haven't seen
match.
any like social media posts and stuff like that.
That's true. But I don't know. I know what the website is. As okay, Vidit versus Hans, and then celebrity chess tournament with a bunch of football players, American football. But I don't know other details. I know there's also an open tournament. Anyway, it should be fun. I will follow. Hopefully, it does happen and doesn't. But I don't see why it wouldn't happen. I mean,
Should happen.
it's yeah, the website's up.
Cool.
As long as they have a venue, I think the prize money is like usually pretty easy to secure, but the venue is pretty expensive.
No, they have the venue. They for sure have the venue.
And then they should be fine. I mean, the prize fund is 30-20. Like, the football players who are involved are all probably multimillionaires. I think they can drum up 50 grand.
I don't know. Free money doesn't grow in trees. But yes, should be an interesting one. Fabi, cool. All right. Let's leave it at that for this week, and I'm sure we'll be back soon. When are you headed to Romania? Are you taking a short break right now? What's the plan for the next few days?
Like 24th, I'll leave, I think, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm leaving
Like two
in
weeks.
4 days.
Okay, you're going early.
I'm
Okay,
going
well, you have
early.
family
Yeah.
there too,
I'm
right?
going to visit with family, and then I'm sure we'll catch up from Romania. Anyway, Fabi,
All right.
cheers.
Good luck against the spiders.
Thank you. I will keep you
I hope you
updated
win.
on. Normally I should win. I mean, I have the tools.
That's true. Yeah, it's not really a fair fight, actually.
I have the technology on
Maybe I
my
should
end.
root for the underdogs in this one.
No, please don't. Please don't. No, I don't want to see any of them after today. Anyway, cheers. I'll keep you updated on the spider war, and we'll keep in touch. Cheers, guys.